Football falls for the first time in over a year, volleyball gets knocked down two pegs in the national rankings, and women's soccer has scored 14 goals in the last two games. Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 8 of Talking Dogs. I'm Kyle Ulbrich, here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going today?
It's going good, man, but homecoming week was a shocking one, let me tell you that. It was shocking.
It was some mixed emotions for sure. This weekend for homecoming. Why don't we just jump right into it? Talking about that football game. First loss since September of 2024.
Do we really have to do this right now,
man? We really do have to do this.
All right, let's go.
So it was not a loss to Doan, thankfully, but it was another orange team. It was the Warriors of Midland who ended up getting the big win over Concordia. Very big upset.
It was a big upset, but I think it was the biggest comeback of that week.
It was an incredible comeback from Midland. So just to dig into the box score a little bit. So we're up 10-0 after, you know, the first quarter of play. We go up, you know, with 17 points, 17-0. Everything's looking calm. You know, Midland gets a touchdown, 70-7. We're thinking, okay, you know, they're putting up a fight here, but nothing. Yeah. Nothing to worry about. We then go on a scoring streak to end the second quarter, end the first half, and then we add a little bit more. Start of the third quarter, we go up 38-7 with 11 minutes left in the third quarter.
See, when you hear 38-7, you're like, okay, this is like a shootout. Like basically, the offense was going crazy. Defense playing great sides of the ball, right?
Yeah, I mean this is blowout levels.
It was blow out levels until, go ahead, Kai.
Yeah, so we get that touchdown to bring our score up to 38 with, you know, 11 minutes left in the third quarter. With 6 minutes left in the third quarter, Midland gets their first strike of the half. They bring their score back to 14, and then in the span of 5 minutes, so 5 minutes from them being at 7 points to them being at 28 points, and then they tie the score with 6 minutes left in the game. So in the span of essentially one quarter of action, so is it 15 minutes?
15 minutes a quarter.
15 minutes a quarter, yeah. So in the span of 15 minutes, they go from 38-7 to 38-38.
And then
they actually took the lead 45-38 with 2 minutes left in the game. Thankfully, we were able to bring it back on a last-minute equalizing touchdown. 21 seconds left in the game, our quarterback Gideon Stark had a 13-yard touchdown pass to Max Bartles to make it 45-45, but then we go to overtime, and this is one of the toughest ones to watch. We go up 52-45 on a really nice pass from Gideon to Adam Van Cleve, 22-yard pass. Peyton Atwood knocks down the kick. Then we have Midland on a 4th and 10 on the 11-yard line,
yep,
in overtime. Yep. So one stop wins the game. They lob one up to the corner of the end zone and come down with it.
I'm going to be honest, that was not a catch. I'm sorry, dude. Like, dude, he was bobbling the ball. I know I'm not trying to be biased. I'm not trying to be biased and stuff, but it wasn't like I saw the replay because I was up in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a catch.
I couldn't tell. I was walking over for, because we played right after that, so I was walking to the locker room. So I was on the other side.
Yeah.
So I just kind of saw the ball go up, and I was, you know, looking around the fence to try to see. I didn't see it very well.
They gave it a touchdown, and I mean, it made a little bit of the fans a little bit upset because actually that was not an itch, but it was a catch. I mean, I'm gonna give the player credit for catching that one.
Yeah,
I mean, TJ Covington got it. That's a good catch as well, and then it just went to second overtime. They scored an easy touchdown, and then Concordia didn't get the first down and ended the game of an upset. It's like a high scoring game. Like, you would see the score 60-52. They beat them 60-52. But that wouldn't be like, you would see that. I was like, oh, it was a shootout game. It was not a shootout game until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So
you look at the quarterback for Midland. Their guy who got most of the action was Brody Johnson. He ended up getting National Player of the Week. He had 7 touchdowns in the second half.
I mean, you gotta get the player of the week. You get 7 touchdowns, and you go throw for 424 yards.
In the second half alone, he had all 7 touchdowns.
You gotta give it to him. Like,
Yeah, one interception, a crazy one. His longest pass was 30 yards.
30 yards, and that for only that interception was on their first drive.
Really?
In the first quarter. It was literally the first drive on that first quarter.
So then he went 37 for 60 on the day. So, you know, the completion percentage isn't crazy high, but he went, like you said, 424 yards, 7 touchdowns, just one interception. Carried his team to a comeback win, so we got to give him his flowers. Gideon had not his best day, but certainly not a bad one either.
Yeah.
He went 20 for 44, so the completion percentage, again, not crazy high, but he passed for 294 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's no bad day at the office. That's a very solid day from Gideon. Rushing, Carlos Collazo, once again with a great game. I think he went off injured in the third quarter, so we didn't have him down in that crunch time, which probably hurt our offense a lot, which could be one of the reasons we didn't score as much down the stretch. But he had 30 carries. He rushed for 171 yards, 3 touchdowns, so another really good performance from him. Receiving, we had Adam Van Cleve leading the line. He had 9 catches, 105 yards, 1 touchdown. Maddox Rickardson also had a touchdown. Johnny Pools had a touchdown. And then, like we said, Max Bartles had one as well. So offensively, it was a pretty solid game. There was that stretch in the third quarter where we really couldn't get much going.
Yep.
Which, of course, when your offense isn't playing well for a stretch, you keep giving the ball back to the other team. So that, of course, leads to things. Peyton Atwood, once again, perfect in what he did. 1 for 1 on his 37-yard field goal, went 7 for 7 on extra points. He's been doing the job all year long. I don't think he's missed an extra point. I think he's missed 1 field goal all year.
Okay, that's not bad.
So he's certainly making his claim for special teams player of the year for Concordia and maybe even the GPAC, because he's been really good all season long. Honestly, I don't know what else to say about this one.
I have one final statement.
Yes.
This game, literally, you think about the score, 60-52, this game combined for 112 points.
Yeah.
That says a lot. That's what I'm giving the grade. It was a great game at the end of it right here. So, if we keep going, we're going to keep talking about football. So, we got to get on to the next segment, and it's obviously time for volleyball.
Yes,
time.
One more thing, though. You saying that reminded me. So, if you take this game and the Mount Marty game and combine the scores, last two games,
right,
there have been 207 points.
Goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Crazy.
If we keep going, we log in a lot. We gotta get to volleyball.
Yes, gotta get to volleyball. So, football lost, and unfortunately, volleyball suffered its first GPAC loss of the season to Northwestern, the team that's had our number for the last couple of years.
And the worst thing was, it was during the whiteout game.
Whiteout game at home. Hate to see it. They've gotten the better of us the last couple times we've played them. Traditionally, they've been very close games. This one, honestly, not as close as it has been in the past. You look at the first set.
Oh, don't even get me started on that first set.
25-9 for Northwestern.
They held us to a single digit.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little bit shaking because I was like, what's going on real quick? Cause sometimes I give him okay, it's the first set. You know, you get a little bit of the rust off. But that wasn't a little rust. It was like, you know how we have block parties?
Yes.
They were having it.
Mm.
And I know, I'm not trying to be basically rude or everything. I'm just saying that's what happened in the game.
Yeah. So you look at, one of the reasons for that is Northwestern hit 462 in the first set, and we hit -067. No.
Sorry.
But then you look at that second set, we come back to win a very lopsided set, 25-16.
Yep.
And we hold Northwestern to 0 hitting percentage. We hit 303. Big reason why we won that one. Third set, 25-14 in favor of the Raiders. They hit 194. We hit -091. Last set is a close one, but they win it 25-21. Good hitting percentage for both teams. They hit 347. We hit 255. You look at the overall kill percentages, they hit 250, we hit 122, so well below our standards and well above the standards we like to keep other teams to, if that makes sense. They hit higher than we'd like them to. Very even on the blocking, actually. So 13 block assists from Northwestern, 2 solos. We had 0 solos, but 16 assists, so the total amount of blocks was quite similar. So the biggest separating factor, it seems, would be just that hitting percentage.
Yeah. Look at that.
Digs wise, it was tied.
Okay, not bad.
67 apiece. So yeah, I don't know really what separated the teams. I guess not even total attempts. Northwestern had 144 total hit attempts. We had 147, so very even in that respect. The player with the best hitting for us was Ella Waters. She actually had a really good game. She hit 9 kills on 21 attempts with just one error for 381 percentage. She had 2 digs, 6 block assists. I think just looking at these stats, she was our top player in the game. You look at Molly Martin. She had 2 kills on 10 attempts with no errors. Ava Green was 7 kills, 3 errors, 15 attempts. Ashley Keck, once again, was our most targeted player, 47 attempts, but she had 9 kills and 8 errors, so not a great day at the office for her, but she contributed with a team-high 18 digs, so she's good on both sides of the ball, that offense and the defense, so it looks like a bit more of the defensive contributions in this one.
Right.
But yeah, I think you just look at this one, and it's, you're going to have bad games sometimes.
I was going
to
say
that.
And
this seemed to just be a bad game.
Yeah, it was a bad game, but the thing is that, thankfully, next game, they turned it around on their homecoming game against Waldorf. So give me a little bit more about that one, Kai.
Yes, for sure. So you play that game against Northwestern on Friday.
Yeah.
Saturday rolls around. You got to play again against a Waldorf team that coming into this game was actually 9-8 overall. Mm. So certainly not a bad record. They were struggling in the GPAC, but overall in the games they played, they'd been doing pretty well. But we ended up getting the 3-0 sweep on them. We won the sets 25-23, 25-8, and then 25-17. We hit much better in this one. We hit 359 as a team, held Waldorf to 154. You look at that second set that we won 25-8, we hit 500. So really good. Solid numbers from us individually. Of course, it was better as well. Ashley Kett got up there with a 361 percentage, 36 attempts, 15 kills, just 2 errors. Ella Waters, she went off in this game, 615 kill percentage, 13 attempts, 10 kills.
Wow.
With 2 errors. So 13 times she went up, 10 times the ball came down hard. Ava Green, 5 kills on 7 attempts with just 1 error. Molly Martin with 6 kills on 10 attempts, 1 error for a 500. So really solid hitting day for everyone. Not too many blocks going on. 6 block assists, 2 solos. Molly Martin led us in those blocks with 3 of the assists, 1 of the solos. Look at Emma Brueggemann. She led the team in digs with 18. Assist-wise, we split the assist duties quite well. Lily Pasenchik, she had 26 of those assists, and then Savannah Shelburne took 16. So overall, yeah, just much better game, much better performance. Of course, a weaker opponent as well. Northwestern was number 7 going into that game. Pretty sure they're higher up now. Yep. Waldorf, unranked. But unfortunately, that loss against Northwestern did drop us down to 4th in the national standings. But you look at our 2 losses this season, it's been to Eastern Oregon, who's number 1.
Still.
And then Northwestern, who was a top 10 and are, believe, in the top 3 now.
Really? Okay, but the thing is that we're still in the top five. So
yes.
Mean, there's still the upside to it. All this negative stuff with these, like, obviously losing Northwestern and coming back and then losing down 2 spots. Even though there's a positive, you're still in the top 4. But I think knowing the Concordia volleyball team, they don't really care about basically the rank of who they are. If they keep staying true to themselves, like basically keep attacking, keep it going, then obviously it's not going to matter as much.
Yeah.
Until the big moment.
Exactly.
Seedings don't matter. It's how you basically play at that right moment at the right time. And I believe that they can get that done at that right moment.
For sure. And yeah, I just pulled up the most recent coaches poll. It came out yesterday. Concordia's number 4. We have 2 losses on the season. The losses are to number 1 and number 3.
See, that's not that bad. I mean, that's just good games right there that we just do.
Yes, good teams. Yeah, you play each of those teams again, maybe it's a different outcome.
Exactly.
Get the losses out of the way right now. Be ready for the GPAC tournament. I know especially these seniors are really wanting to get that GPAC tournament win. They've never won it. They've been to the championship game 3 times. and they're looking to make this one the time they finally get their hands on that trophy.
Oh, you're telling me it's like that.
It's like that.
I'm not even going to say it, but you know what
I'm talking like about. It's
like that. Oh, goodness. We got to see this happen.
Lost to Northwestern in two of them, and you remember Jamestown?
Yeah.
They were pretty good at volleyball as well, so it was always Northwestern and Jamestown and Concordia being in those championships. Concordia has not been able to get one in a long time, so I think this is the year. I think it's about time. Getting those losses out of the way right now.
I'm feeling something special about this one with the coach and obviously how hungry this team is. So
they're ready to let it rip. They certainly let it rip in their most recent game. This one happened on Wednesday the 15th, so yesterday, from our time of recording. Three really solid sets from the Bulldogs, 25-14, 25-16, 25-18. Not much to say about it except that we held them to a zero hitting percentage. We blocked them quite a bit. We had a lot of digs. We had really good hitting. Yeah, we played well in this one.
So we became 2-1 after like all the three games. 2-1. That's not bad.
Yeah,
that's not bad. I would still see it as a win. Now, what I see as a win is the soccer program that's seeing on homecoming day for sure.
Yes.
The men's and the women's. Now, let's talk about the men's soccer team, how they basically dominated. And obviously, shout out to my boy Kai for getting a headshot goal in that game against Waldorf.
Yes.
So tell me more about that one, dude.
That was a pretty fun one. So yeah, like you said, we played Waldorf. We had lots of matchups against Waldorf on homecoming day. And we ended up getting the big win 5-0. That's our biggest win of the year so far. And yeah, we did it in pretty impressive fashion, I'll say. So we went up on the scoreline quite early. It was the eighth minute of the game. Milo Hegarty, he scored off a corner kick from Joe McCarroll. It was a pretty nice goal as well. Joe kicked in the corner, and then Milo at the near post hit a back heel to put it into the far corner of the goal. That one was really nice. It was nice to get on the board early against this Waldorf team. Second goal of the game came with 5 minutes left in the half. Hugo Garrote, assisted by Ryan Brown. Brown, he took it down, the line, down the sideline, crossed it to Hugo, who was at the top of the box. And then Hugo had a nice little low corner shot into the bottom right-hand side of the goal for our second one. Then our third one was Oliver Benson, another assist from Joe McCarroll. He put in a really nice cross from the edge of the box to the back post, and Ollie was there to clean up the little mess that was going on back there.
Yep, that was a mess.
Fourth goal, Jasper Hoffland, assisted by Oliver Benson, so Ollie got the goal and the assist. Ollie played a nice little chip pass to Jasper, who took a nice touch and then nutmegged the goalie for that goal. And then the final goal of the game was from yours truly. In the 73rd minute of action, Ryan Brown, once again, so he got two assists as well. Him and Joe both got two assists. He got a long ball. It was going into the box. He took a touch. I yelled, "Brown, cross!" And he chipped it up for me, and I jumped up and headed into the goal.
While I was commentating, I said it. Like, you already heard the recording of the video, yep, with it, because I bet you were laughing while I was doing that.
Check out the Twitter. You can listen to Aaron commentate the goals. So
it was a good one.
Bulldog Twitter.
It was a good one. It was a good win. It was a good win. But then sadly.
Yes, but just one more thing on that Waldorf game. Shot count was about the most lopsided I've ever seen. 25 shots for the Bulldogs, 0 shots for Waldorf.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, fun game. Good win. Foul count was even 5-5. We had 19 corner kicks. They had none. Yeah, it was a good game.
It was a good game.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
What was not a great game was what happened yesterday, where we ended up losing to Midland 3-0 in what was actually a pretty good game, and a game where the scoreline, I'll say, it doesn't reflect accurately how the game actually went, and I think if you look at the stats, it'll actually agree with me there. So we ended up losing 3-0. Score was 0-0 at halftime. So already there, it's pretty even game. You look at the shot count, 19 for Midland, 17 for Concordia, so not much of a difference there. Corner kicks, 8 for Midland, 5 for Concordia, so a bit lopsided there, but again, not too bad. Foul count was very lopsided. They had 16 fouls, we had 4. So we came out with 3 yellows, and they came out with 1, but...
One?
Yeah.
How is it even possible we got 16 fouls?
I don't know. But, yeah. We'll ignore that.
Yeah.
But the goals all came within 7 minutes for Midland. 73rd minute, we had the first goal conceded. They took the ball down the right side there. They're number 10. He cut in. I think he's the GPAC Offensive Player of the Year from last year.
Okay.
Hit a nice left-footed shot into the right-hand top corner of the goal. Then a couple minutes after that, there was a bit of a miscommunication from our defenders. They got through on goal, scored that one, and then right afterwards, 2-3 minutes later, they scored the third one. So what was a very even game turned into a bit of a lopsided one at the end. We certainly had chances to score after all that. We could have made it 3-1, 3-2. We had a couple chances to take the lead early on and into the second half of the game. So scoreline is a bit tough, but I think either team could have won that one. It's not like we really deserved the win or they really deserved the win. It was a good game.
It was a good game?
It was a good game.
It was a good game. Now, I already know everyone's way because obviously you hear about the women's soccer scoring 14 points total. Yes. in two games. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just strap. You better strap in because this game against Waldorf Homecoming was crazy.
This is gonna be a lot of names here. So there's a lot of goal scorers and a lot of assisters.
Before we start, just say like, let me hear you. This was the score against the women's soccer versus Waldorf game. It was 10-0.
Oh my gosh!
I'm saying yes, 10-0. They scored 5 in the first. They scored 5 in the second.
Why don't you scroll down and look at that shot count for me?
And then, oh yeah, let me, before I go into it, let's start with the shot count. Waldorf, obviously, no disrespect, had 0 shots. But you want to know how many Concordia had?
How many?
38.
Oh my gosh.
Total, 38.
Wow.
So now, you ready to get strapped in because we about to have ourselves a log, we're going to have a list.
All right.
So, first goal at the 9-minute mark, Kirsten Gardner started off strong. Then after the 12-minute mark, Kiana Rios. The 21-minute.
Oh, and also, let's make sure we shout out the people who got the assist. So,
I was going to have to do on these goals with it, too, but you're right, obviously.
Yeah, so Kirsten's goal assisted by Kiana Rios. Then Kiana scored assisted by Sadie Mars, and keep going.
Then, at the 21-minute, Shelby Rush scores the goal with Kirsten Gardner as the assist. Then, on the 23rd, back to the 30-minute, or actually 29-minute again, Kiana Rios scores another goal, and then Kirsten Gardner gets the assist again.
All right.
Before that, I was getting close to the ending. Sanchez gets the goal with McKenna West with the assist, making it go 5-0. And you're like, okay, that's like us is like that's like the score right there, right?
Yep.
Nope. We keep going with it as we hit the second half at the 46-minute mark. Sadie Morris gets the goal with Kirsten Gardner again with the assist. That's three assists right there for Kirsten Gardner. Then after Sadie Morris, we get a hat trick. Kirsten Gardner gets the goal. She gets 3 goals, 3 assists.
Hat trick of both. Wow.
Hat trick of both. Oh, sorry. That was actually her second goal right there. My apologies. That was her second goal.
Oh, jumped the gun.
Yeah, I jumped the gun. But then after the goal she did, she got another goal. She got back-to-back goals.
All right.
Then after that, Nia Kirchner gets the goal at the 65-minute mark with Avery Black with the assist. And then the last goal to make it go 10-0 at the 67-minute mark was Abby Haynes with her first career goal with the assist of McKenna West. So we had Kirsten Gardner with 3 assists and 3 goals. We had Sanchez. I mean, sorry, Rios with 2, like 2, I think it was like
2 goals and 1 assist.
2 goals and 1 assist. And then McKenna West with 2 assists.
There you go.
Right there. It's just a big win for this. The Concordia girls team. And this one, they actually beat their career high of total goals they scored because their highest goal was 4 goals. They beat it by 6.
Oh my gosh. That was their highest goal scoring this season?
Yes, it was.
Nice.
So then, you already know, you talk to the coach and you talk about how this was a good momentum after the win against Hastings.
Yep.
And then then you already know that, you know, sometimes when you're winning a big game like this, you don't want them to get goals to their head. The coach said that obviously they were going to take one game at a time with the record they had. And the goal was to focus on Midland. And let me tell you, that's what they did. Not only did they shut out this team at home, they shut out Midland at their stadium.
There we go.
4-0. 4-0. And then let me say, before I get to the goals and everything, Concordia outshot Midland 28-6.
Wow.
So if we were to combine the 38-0 on that first game and 28-6, they literally, like, you see how much they advantage in two games was right there. I'm not going to do the math because that's going to do a lot in our head by the time we have left. But starting off the game, first goal at the beginning, like maybe like 4 minutes into the first half, Keanu Rios gets the goal with Kirsten Gardner with the assist.
Seems to be a dynamic duo.
Right there. Then no score until later at the 44-minute mark. Sanchez scores with Sierra Springer with the assist. Then second half begins. Around the 62-minute, Kirsten Gardner gets the goal with Sanchez as the assist. And then finally the last goal, the name that you will not be hearing before, Taylor Slaymaker gets the goal with Sadie Morris as with the assist.
There we go. Yeah, you don't hear Taylor's name very often. She's one of those fifth-year seniors, but she's a defender.
She's a defender.
She's a center back, so you don't hear her name on the stat sheet very often.
No disrespect. You're just like, we got Taylor Slaymaker making a goal. Yeah. Like, he's like, that's a first with it.
Love to see it.
So that, like, you see it, like 14 goals within two games.
Yeah.
The dynamic and this team's chemistry is building up with Nick's guy of state taking one game at a time.
For sure.
And that shows right there as Concordia Bulldogs are up in first place in the GPAC right now.
Let's go.
They're first place, staying in first place. Hopefully, not every single guarantee, hopefully they can keep that momentum going and host the GPAC tournament here.
Yes, absolutely. You look at those GPAC standings, like you mentioned, we're leading with 17 points, 8 games played. So the way that points work in soccer is you get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie, 0 points for a loss. So we have 17 points in our 8 games. Dort is behind us with 16 points in 8 games. And then we have a couple teams with 7 games. So Morningside, who is our one loss on the season, they have 16 points on 7 games. And Doan is the same, 16 points with 7 games. So if both of those teams win their next games, they'll be up top of the standings. But for the time being, we lead the conference. So that bodes really well for getting those high seed placements in the tournament and getting to host some of those games.
Yes, it really is, because, I mean, you have your own student section there. Hopefully that they show out for this team as well as other times as well. So I'm excited to, you know, see what happens before the GPAC tournament comes
in. For sure. And we still have Doan on the schedule. So it's kind of in our hands whether or not we get second at least, because Morningside, if they win out their schedule, they'll top the GPAC. But besides that, Concordia has everything in their hands. It's going to be a tough last couple games. You got Dort coming up, who are second, Doan coming up, who are fourth, got Dakota Wesleyan coming up, who looks like they're in seventh. So you've played all of the bottom teams, Waldorf, Midland, Briarcliff, Northwestern, Mount Marty, all those have been played already. So you got the easier half of the schedule done already. Got some important games coming up.
Yep, but the thing is that, by Coach Nick saying, take it one game at a time and focus on that one team as well.
Absolutely. So, thinking about that one team, Dakota Wesleyan is up next. Like you mentioned, they're seventh in the standings, and both the men's and the women's team will be traveling there on Saturday. It's going to be a nice long trip over fall break. So, up to Mitchell, South Dakota.
Man. Do you have anything else before? Because I think we're getting close to running out of time a little bit, man.
Yeah, we just got that cross-country meet that we had on the 11th, the Dort University Holiday Inn Express Classic.
Tell me more about it.
All right, so on the women's seed, our team score wasn't great. We placed 14th out of 17 teams. A lot of good programs in this one. We had a couple D1s, some good D2s, some good NAIA schools. Well, of course, one of the reasons as well that we didn't do as well placement-wise was Keely Green was out for this one. She was sick, so she did not run. She's been our top runner all year long. She's been getting a lot of podium finishes. So, of course, that just means that your top runner's out, so you're missing a lot of those placements. So Annika Schlatter, she ended up leading us. 64th place, ran a 23.09 for her 6K. Ashley Robertson was really close behind, 75th place, with a 23.17, and that was out of, looks like, 150 runners. Mm-hmm. So they were both in the top half of that. Look on the men's side. Team score was quite a bit better. Of course, we have the men's side had a full squad.
Yep.
So they placed 7th out of 16 teams. Lost to Doan and Dort, but those are both ranked. Doan's number 15, Dort's number 25, and we weren't, like, miles away from them. It was a decent gap, but weren't crazy far away. Trey Robertson, once again, led the team. 22nd place with a 25-23-9-7 for his 8K. Aiden Limbach was right behind, 24th place with a 25-30-19. You look at Abe Chance, he was 26-10. Vaughn Hendrickson, 26-15. Ransom Watts, he got 71st with a 26-21. And then Justin Sherman, Trevor Kunchel were 76th, 77th. So some pretty solid, you know, placements from them. 147 runners in this one. So we had seven guys in the top half or right around that cutoff point. So I'd say it's a pretty solid day from them. There were a lot of PRs. Yeah. Almost everyone on the varsity teams PR'd.
You gotta love having PRs, man. That's like the best. That's the best feeling, though.
Absolutely, for sure. So I think that's about it for the cross country team. They've got a little bit of a break right now. Their next meet is the Blazing Tiger Invite at Mahoney State Park in Ashland, Nebraska, on the 25th, 10 a.m. We preview the football game for this week.
Not yet.
All right. So football is playing this weekend, and they will be at Hastings.
Okay.
So, good luck to them. Oh, do we say who volleyball's playing? I'm pretty sure they're at Dakota Wesleyan as well. It'll be a Dak West weekend.
Okay, Dak West weekend. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the volleyball team will be in Mitchell, South Dakota with the soccer teams on the 18th. So, this coming up Saturday to play Dakota Wesleyan.
Yeah. Okay, that's... Man, we covered a lot today, didn't we?
We did cover a lot. Now we can breathe.
Yep.
And go on fall break.
Yes.
So, hope everyone listening has a great fall break. Stay safe. Stay out of family. And just have a good time. Right. Do a little bit of homework, but not too much.
I ain't doing no homework. What are
you
talking about?
Now you do homework. Be smart. Get your work done. And, yeah, have a good break. I guess that'll be all today from this episode of Talking Dogs. Make sure to check us out at cuenysower.com/podcasts, and even better, on Spotify. We're on Spotify, guys. Come on. Follow us on Spotify. Give us a 5-star review. Get our algorithms going. But until next time, this has been Kai Ulbrich and Aaron Spivey. From us and everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day, and go Dogs!